Today's Bible reading comes from Psalm 71. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, Sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forsake me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Do not be far from me, my God. Come quickly, God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. As for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous deeds, of your saving acts all day long, though I know not how to relate them all. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, Sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteous deeds, yours alone. Since my youth, God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? Though you have made me see troubles many and bitter, you will restore my life again from the depths of the earth. You will again bring me up. You will increase my honor and comfort me once more. I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, my God. I will praise you to you. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for you when I sing praise to you, I whom you have delivered. My tongue will tell of your righteous acts all day long. For those who wanted to harm me have been put to shame and confusion.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you all here today. And it will be helpful as we look at God's word together that you have Psalm 71 close at hand in your Bible. So that would be helpful. And before we pray, I share with you God's word, let's pray. Gracious Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I don't know if any of you have heard of a British rock group called The Who. They had a famous rock song from the 1960s called My Generation. And one of the memorable lines in that song is, I hope I die before I get old. What did they mean by that line? Maybe they wanted to die before they became weak and wrinkly. From time to time, my wife Kim and I watched the British crime series Midsummer Murders. In one episode, a lot of people being murdered were residents in a nursing home. The murderer turned out to be one of the residents. When he was captured, he said something that really struck me. When you're old, you're invisible. Now that I'm getting a bit older, I started to notice that. Because unfortunately, in Western cultures, older people aren't as well respected as they should be. Growing old. It's not a very appealing subject, is it? But unless our lives are snatched from us at a young age, growing old is something we all will face. How do we prepare well for growing old? What are wise objectives to have as we age? Psalm 71 helps us answer these questions. If you're young, as most of you are, you're probably thinking, I don't need to hear this now. I'll worry about that later. But this is a psalm for everyone, from the very youngest to the very oldest. It's a psalm for the whole of life. Psalm 71 teaches us many valuable lessons, but I only have time to highlight a few. The first lesson is, make God your refuge, always shelter in him. Make God your refuge, always shelter in him. That's what the psalmist does. At the beginning of the psalm, he asks God to rescue him and deliver him. The psalmist tells us about his current crisis in verses 10 to 13 and says that his life is full of trials and troubles in verse 20. The psalmist is looking to God for help. He uses the word refuge in verses 1, 3, and 7, and other words that go with it. Rock in verse 3, mentioned twice. Fortress, again in verse 3. Strong refuge and in verse 7. And hope in verses 5 and 14. These words speak of safety, security, and protection from harm. The COVID-19 pandemic has powerfully reminded us that life is hard and that there are a lot of things we don't have control over. In Australia, we've had to endure lockdowns. We do church differently, change plans for weddings or cancel holidays, or close our business, or have lost our jobs. And a lot of people in other countries have suffered greatly. Worldwide, about 89 million people have contracted the virus, and nearly 2 million people have died from it. When life is hard, we want somewhere safe to retreat to, a place of protection, and we need someone we can totally rely on, someone who is always there for us. That's what the psalmist says in verse 3. He wants God to be his rock of refuge, to whom he can always go for shelter. Do you have a friend you can always go to for help? Or one whom you feel totally safe with? It's great if you have a friend like that. But even our closest friends sometimes let us down when they don't understand us. Or maybe they can't be there for us because they've got so much going on in their own life. But that's not the case with God. He is always there for us. We can always go to him for shelter. The second lesson is, make God the sovereign Lord your hope and trust. Verses 5 and 16. Make God the sovereign Lord your hope and trust. That's what the psalmist does. He addresses God as the sovereign Lord, a recognition that God is the boss of his life and that he is God's servant. That's why he calls on God to save, rescue, and deliver him from his enemies. The psalmist says he always runs to God for refuge and help since his youth, verse 5. Verse 6 pictures God as a midwife bringing him into the world, cutting the umbilical cord. So the psalmist has relied on God even from the very time of his birth. And he has had a relationship with God from as far back as he can remember. You know, Christian parents long for their children to put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour as early as possible. What about you? Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home and know the Bible's teaching about Jesus, the Son of God, coming into our world as a man to save sinners. Maybe it's just all too familiar to you. You know, knowing the message isn't enough. Has the message impacted your life? That's the real issue. Remember what James says in his letter in chapter 2, verse 19. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Those words from James impacted a Christian friend of mine who grew up in a Christian home. Those words led him to put his trust in Jesus. Have you leaned on Jesus Christ as your refuge, your rescuer, your saviour, and your deliverer? Is Jesus the boss of your life? Maybe you've been hesitating about committing your life to Jesus as your Saviour and Lord. I urge you, don't put it off any longer. Act today. Put your hope and trust in Jesus Christ as your refuge, your rescuer, and your Saviour, your deliverer, and your sovereign Lord. The third lesson is, remember what God has done and always praise him for it. Remember what God has done and always praise him for it. As the psalmist remembers what God has done for him up to that point in his life, he is filled with praise. We see that in verses 6 and 8. And the praise is continuous. Verse 6, I will ever praise you. Verse 8, it's all day long. And this should be our response if we rely on Jesus as our refuge, our rescuer, our saviour and our deliverer. When was the last time you paused to remember what Jesus has done for you? When did you last remember he's been with you ever since you began relying on him? And even watched over you before then. Did your remembering prompt you to praise him? Then the psalmist moves from praise to prayer again in verses 9 to 13. He prays that God would still be with him in verse 9, even into his old age. He's realistic enough to know that he will get weaker as he gets older. And he prays that God will not forsake him when his strength is gone. It's interesting that whatever age we are, we don't think we're old. I heard a story about a man who refused help because only old people need help. And he was only 92. I think that in all our minds, we're still 25. But we can't fool our bodies. They know how old we are. And as we grow old, we will begin to lose our independence. We will need others to help us with things like shopping and taking us to medical appointments. Those of you who have ever cared for elderly parents know all about this. But we can still rely on Jesus to be with us no matter how old we are, because he has given us the indwelling Holy Spirit to be our advocate and comforter. The fourth lesson is accept the reality that life doesn't get easier as you get older. I'm starting to get first-hand experience of this. Even as our strength diminishes, life's problems don't go away. They're still there. And as my mother-in-law used to say, when you're old, the doctor never gives you good news. So the psalmist prays for God's help in his old age in verses 9 to 11. Ambulances have rapid response teams for a medical crisis. The army has a rapid response force for a military crisis. And the psalmist calls to God for a rapid response to his problem in verse 12. Come quickly, God, to help me. Hurry. The psalmist's enemies haven't gone away just because he's old. And in verse 13, we see him praying one of those harsh prayers you occasionally see in the Psalms. It's called an imprecation. Have you ever considered just how real the Psalms are about the messiness, the difficulty of life? The psalmist has no problem telling God how angry he is towards his enemies. This is one of the reasons I love the Psalms. There's that honesty. The psalmist tells God about his strong emotions, and this shows us that we can also tell God how we really feel. And here the psalmist is not exactly feeling the love for towards his enemies. How do we reconcile such anger with loving our enemies? It's okay to vent your anger to God, but not act on it. Like the psalmist, we're to leave action against our enemies in God's hands. Having prayed against his enemies, the psalmist then turns to praise and confidence in verses 14 to 24. He cannot contain himself because he has so much to praise God for, because he always has hope in God. Verse 14, he expects to praise God more and more, even into his old age. This brings us to the fifth lesson. Be so wrapped in what God has done that you want to tell others about him. Be so wrapped in what God has done that you want to tell others about him. When we're given an opportunity to speak to people about Jesus, we often think, I really should say something. But the psalmist doesn't have that sort of problem in speaking about God. He's so wrapped in what God is, who God is, and what God has done for him, that he tells others all day long in verse 15. You literally can't stop him. The psalmist is so wrapped in God's righteousness and salvation that he can never measure it, verse 15. He says something similar in verse 19 when he says that God's righteousness reaches to the skies. How high do you go? Some of you may recall the Toy Story movies in the 1990s. One of the lead characters was Buzz Lightyear, a space ranger of Star Command. Do you remember his catch cry? To infinity and beyond. The psalmist is saying, God, your righteousness is to infinity and beyond. The sixth and last lesson is, tell the next generation about God and his salvation. This is what the psalmist resolves to do in verse 18. And this should be the aim of all Christians, but especially Christian parents and grandparents. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told it's our responsibility to tell our children about God. Most of us want to leave an enduring legacy for our children. My mum was a Christian. She was a very loving person who left a legacy of love to her children and grandchildren. But the very best legacy is to tell the children in our lives about how much we love Jesus and why, and how much he loves them, and why they should put their trust in him. An Israelite reading about God's mighty saving acts in Psalm 71 would think about how God smashed the Egyptians when he freed the Israelites from Egyptian slavery under the leadership of Moses. For us, of course, God's marvelous act of salvation is in the person and work of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. He is to be the focus of our talk and our praise. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust my sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Well, there's a saying that growing old is better than the alternative. But some people are terrified of growing old and losing their independence and good looks. So how can we prepare for growing old? How can we prepare well for that? By doing these things. Make Jesus Christ our lifelong refuge, and place our hope and trust in him as our Saviour and Lord, to face whatever hardships life throws our way, relying on his righteousness and his death on the cross for our salvation, remembering and being so wrapped in what he has done for us that we praise him and tell others about him and his work, especially the next generation, the children in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our refuge, our hope, our place of trust, the one who alone is our Saviour, Rescuer and Deliverer from sin and Lord of our lives. Thank you that whatever hardships we confront in this coming year, we can always flee to Christ as our refuge, the one with whom we can share our deepest feelings, whether of sorrow, anxiety, fear or anger, entrusting them to him because he loves us and laid down his life to save us. Help us to continually remember who Jesus is and what he has done for us through his life, death and resurrection, and even what he is doing for us now, praying for us at your right hand. As we remember Jesus Christ, may we be so wrapped in him and what he has done that we spontaneously praise him and tell others this good news. Help us especially tell the next generation, the children in our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it looks like we've got a couple of questions up already. Are you ready for a couple of questions, Andrew? Can you see them?
Well, the first one's very easy. I am more than happy to repeat the points. There are 6 points. I know three is much easier, so just as twice times three. The first one is, make God your refuge, always sheltering him. The second one is, make God the sovereign Lord your hope and trust. Make God the sovereign Lord your hope and trust. The third is, remember what God has done and always praise him for it. Remember what God has done and always praise him for it. The fourth one is, accept the reality that life doesn't get easier as you get older. Accept the reality that life doesn't get easier as you get older. The fifth one is, be so wrapped in what God has done that you want to tell others about him. Be so wrapped in what God has done that you want to tell others about him. And the last one, which is related to it, is tell the next generation about God and his salvation. Tell the next generation about God and his salvation.
Thanks for that, Andrew. There's it's surprising how much you can get out of a psalm. It kind of expresses all these underlying assumptions in one poem or one psalm. Like this whole life of experience with God, and it kind of comes out in this way. And like you can kind of get 6 points. I'm sure you could have gotten 20 or 30 or whatever if you kind of.
Yeah, there were too many.
Yeah.
There is time limit. There are time limits.
Next question. What does it mean to take refuge in God in practical terms?
Right. I think from practical terms, it means turning to him in prayer, pouring out your heart to him.
Mm-hmm.
And seeking comfort and solace in him, and particularly through his word. So it's both an outpouring of prayer, but also reading his word, I think, is a way of seeking refuge in him, confronting the difficulties that we might experience. And I think the Psalms are very well suited to that in terms of seeking comfort, especially with the different feelings that we might be going through in different seasons of life. That's my experience. And from my perspective, taking refuge is praying, pouring out my heart to him, and then, turning to his word and looking at the promises of God, such as where God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And that the fact that Jesus is interceding, he's praying for me now at the right hand of the Father, that provides me with comfort and encouragement through a time of difficulty, that he's praying for me, that I persevere to the end. That's a big help. What about you, John?
I think those Bible reading prayers are really interesting because I think I tend to think of that as a way of getting to know God or talking to him myself, but really like it expresses a lot, or it can express a lot more through Bible reading and prayer. Like it's not just Bible reading for knowledge sake, but it's like in some ways and sometimes that action is actually running to God for refuge. So taking refuge in God, it's really broad, I guess. So I would classify a lot of things as taking refuge in God. I think the concept is a really whole of life concept. So I think taking refuge in God would express itself like having confidence in any other type of refuge. So if you're thinking like physically in a massive storm, if you're like inside a safe building or you're inside a cave or whatever, and you're protected, you can sleep well. So I think in some sense, taking refuge in God is knowing that he's in control of all of things, and then kind of being able to sleep well at night, being able to have patience for other people who you feel like are your enemies, all those sorts of things, I think can also be expressions of that you are taking refuge in God.
I think that's terrific, John. And you've actually reminded me, with the Psalms, the concept of refuge is a very powerful theme, and it's actually starts. Oh, if you ever look at the Psalms more carefully, Psalms 1 and 2 are regarded as the gateway to the Psalms. And right at the end of Psalm 2, and that's why it's interesting that the psalmist picks this up in verse, in chapter 71, but in Psalm 2, it says, verse 12, I think it is, it finishes, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him," referring to God. So it's interesting, if you look at Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 together, if you read them together, Psalm 1 begins with the words, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." And at the end of Psalm 2, if you look at a kind of a frame, it says, "Blessed are all who take refuge in him," referring to God. So that's that idea of, you know, trusting in God, entrusting yourself totally to him. That's, you know, that's what you're doing for protection, for comfort, for solace. You know, it's a very powerful theme.
Yeah, yep. And then, like, the other half, the start of Psalm 1, like, living a righteous life in some sense has a parallel to taking refuge in God. So you can really only live a righteous life if you're confident in your refuge. Yeah, that's a great observation, Andrew. We've got another question that's popped in since we've been chatting.
Right.
A good question. How can we help our elderly parents accept their frailty in old age when they're not ready to the detriment of their health and safety? Example, not wanting to use walking aids. Yeah. Very tough. I don't know if you have any experience with this through other people or your own family.
Yeah, that's a really tough one. I wish there was a straightforward answer. I know that that was a very real issue that we had with my father, who didn't accept his frailties, and you know, sadly, in the sense that it came to the point where we had to put him in a nursing home. He didn't like that at all, but he was virtually blind. He couldn't really walk, it was too burdensome on my mother to care for him, because she had her own health issues as well. So that's a really tough one. I mean, you know, my brothers and my sister and I, we made that collective decision that was the best thing for both of them, because we thought if mum couldn't cope, it'd kill her. So, yeah, I don't have an easy answer to that question, I'm afraid. It's really hard.
I had a similar experience with my dad when he went through dementia. He'd get lost, he wouldn't want to use a walking stick, he'd like walk across the street and it looked like he'd fall over, but he'd be adamant that he was fine. He was like, oh, I wasn't going to fall. And so I guess there might be like two perspectives on this. There's one for us who are young and strong still, and, you know, aging, even though we don't know it, to understand our own frailty even now at this point when we think we're strong, we're actually frail in lots and lots of ways. And if we can carry that through into our old age, I think that would put us in a good position to accept our own frailty as we get there. And then as a younger person looking on an older person becoming weak and frail, I think that's a lot harder. I guess from the psalm that you spoke on, Andrew, there's a hint that the psalmist is afraid that God will abandon him in his age. Like what you mentioned with like the rest of the world, like we don't, especially the Western world, we don't look at our elderly with respect or with value, but I guess maybe the psalmist fears that a little bit. This is just speculation. I haven't looked at this clearly, but possibly a way of helping them accept their frailties, to help them understand that they're actually, even in their frailty, they're not being abandoned by God. There's no, you don't have to be independent to prove a point or to prove your worth or whatever. There's a God who's your refuge, even your age, and more of a refuge as you age.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Those are my thoughts on it. Again, no answer. That's super hard and very a very tough position for the question asker as well. If you'd like to chat with me, or I'm sure Andrew as well would be happy to chat. Let me know if you feel comfortable doing that. It looks like you're about to say something, Andrew.
I was just to say thanks, John, for reminding me of the importance of being humble enough myself as I get older to be mindful of my own frailty and not to be stubborn-hearted when people observe that, you know, there comes a point in my life where I need to take up a walking stick or a walking aid or some other thing. So I think that's an important point, to be humble and flexible, easier said than done because of our own sinful nature. But just from a personal perspective, you know, I hope I have that humility and acceptance. There'll come a point in time to accept my shortcomings, my frailties and my weaknesses, so that people can help me and not, you know, be difficult about it.
Mm. And maybe on that note, a question to wrap up. As you've aged over time, have you found any particular moments in life really hard to, like they might be frailties or they might just be general moments where you found it really hard to maintain your trust in God as your refuge?
That's a really good really good question. I think there's a certain sort of naivety to think that as you get older, things will get easier. But I was reminded of a quote by John Chapman when he said, you know, the first 50 years are really hard as a Christian. And then he said, the first 60 years are hard. And then later he said, the first 70 years are hard. The reality is, as you get older, I think you realize you need God more than ever. That's my experience. There's still that old sinful nature that has to be reckoned with. Yes, I'm a new creation in Christ. Yes, I have the Holy Spirit, and thankfully, you know, he's working in me and there is tangible fruit of change in that. But nevertheless, I still have my struggles as a Christian, and I don't imagine that I will be free of those struggles until the day I die. And so I just have to keep walking that daily life of faith, looking to Jesus as my refuge, saviour, deliverer, rescuer, the one on whom I can totally rely, because, that's the reality. We're not autonomous. We're not meant to be independent. We're meant to totally trust in God, trust in Christ all the days of our life. And so, yeah, that's the long answer, I suppose, is no, it doesn't get easier. And it is discouraging when you see people that were Christians some years ago who've fallen by the wayside. But that can be discouraging. But on the other hand, for me, it drives me to rely on God more and more, because I know I need him to persevere to the end.
Well, thanks, Andrew, for all your time and effort in diving into that psalm for us. And giving us the sermon today and for just sharing your experience with us now in the Q&A time as well.